This week we're talking about cats. Only kind of. We're talking about mobile photography. Yeah, you can take pictures of cats with your camera phone, but there's all kinds of other things you can do with mobile photography, including many ministry uses. Sally and I share some cool tools that you can install on your phone to make use of that good camera phone that you have. All kinds of other good stuff. Stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hi again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast, a show where we talk about technology and ministry and where those two meet. This is show number 282 for April 2nd, 2013. And at my side, as usual, Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Hello, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. And I guess we can say Easter greetings to you. We're actually recording the show early, so we are pre-Easter, but hopefully people will be watching it post-Easter. And what a wonderful week we have experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm probably, as people are watching or listening, I'm in New Mexico taking a little vacation with my wife. So hopefully with warmer temperatures and beautiful scenery, planning on taking my camera and exploring all kinds of cool places.
Awesome. Well, we'll try not to be too jealous as we hold down the fort. Spring is coming here in Minnesota. I'm sure it is there in Wisconsin as well. So
slowly but surely. Yes.
Warm temperatures are in our future.
Yeah. Speaking of photography, that's our topic of the day. In fact, a special kind of photography, not just any old photography, but something that has been enabled by the technological revolution of mobile, and that's mobile photography. Almost every phone you get these days, whether it's a smartphone or a dumb phone, can take a picture.
Yeah, I use my iPad, my tablet, to take pictures as well. Mm-hmm. I call it my blue cutting board because I have a blue cover on it, and here I am holding up this block of thing to take pictures with.
It's no inhibitions crazy. Whatsoever, do you?
Oh, no. But I read a quote recently that said, when you take high-quality camera phones, combine them with sophisticated social media apps, and put them in the pockets of nearly every human on the planet, what you get is a whole new way of documenting history. And cats.
So,
yes. Yeah, that was pretty true that it's really changing things because of the amount and ease of taking photos with that always with you device.
See, I think the difference that we're seeing here in the last few years is that, you know, we've had these camera phones around for a long time, but now we have a very easy way to take the picture or take the video and get it up online almost instantly, whether it be on Facebook or YouTube or whatever it is, Twitter. People are taking these shots, sharing them, and you know, sharing their experience as they go. So it's a trend that I think is only going to grow. I don't think we're going to see any lessening of the number of photos, cat photos or otherwise, that we're seeing. But there are some applications, certainly ministry applications for this, and just some fun stuff that you can do.
Definitely. I guess we could say that the start of this topic for us was a couple of articles. Maybe I'll share my screen for those that are watching the video. I found an article on iStock Photo called 11 tips for better mobile photographs. So even these legitimate photo sites for the more hardcore photographers are realizing that mobile photography is pretty much here to stay, and there are ways that you can improve your mobile photography. Mm-hmm. In addition to that article, I'll include in the show notes a link to an article from Make Use Of called 10 Ways Your Smartphone Camera Can Make Life Easier. And these are more practical tips of what to take pictures of with your smartphone camera, you know, ideas for you. For instance, like if you're taking your car apart, take photos as you go so you know where all the pieces go when you put it back together. So a couple of great articles to kind of spark the conversation. Also on iStock Photo, I'll share one more article. And this one's actually got an infographic in it. It's called Pocketography, and it has some really interesting stats about the growing use of smartphones around the world. The fact that, you know, we can instantly share photos, as you referenced, everyone probably has heard of Instagram and other similar sites where you can share photos easily. Even the Google Glasses are mentioned because they're pretty much instantaneous or real-time sharing. This was an interesting stat. The total number of photos on Facebook is 10,000 times more than the total number of photos in the Library of Congress. And in 2000, there were 85 billion photos taken ever in all of history. And today, 3.5 trillion photos. So and just in the last 13
all
years.
Probably because of mobile photography.
Right, and cats. So, yeah. And obviously, the cameras on the mobile phones are getting larger and larger megapixels. They reference a Nokia camera that actually has 41 megapixels. So I think you could take a pretty decent photo with a 41 megapixel camera. So,
yeah. What I found, and I've had a number of phones and a number of cameras on those phones, and there's kind of a wide variety, you know, regardless of the megapixel size, which really just is the amount of data that it captures so that you could enlarge it or whatever. And typically, when you're taking a mobile photograph, you're not thinking about blowing it up to poster size. They're usually not as good a quality as you can get with a DSLR, for instance. But you're just capturing the moment. The good ones that I've had, you know, kind of my litmus test for a good camera phone is how well they perform indoors under low light conditions. I think all of them perform pretty well outdoors, which is fairly consistent with even low grade or point and shoot types of cameras. But if you can find a camera phone that has good low light capabilities, then you found a good one. And I think of all the ones that I've ever used, I think the iPhone cameras are clearly the best of breed, and nobody's really been able to match that. You do have some other limitations. Usually they're a fixed focal length. So even though you have zoom in some cameras, it's a digital zoom, so it's going to degrade the photo as you're doing that. And I guess you can understand that because the sensor is very small in a camera, so you're not going to get as good a quality as you would with a DSLR. But as many people say, the best camera is what, Sally?
It's the one you have with you, and
that's right.
That is the advantage those smartphones have. I just want to also share a link to Photo Jojo. It's my favorite place to shop for neat camera accessories, and they have all kinds, not just for mobile devices, but just addressing some of those like low light issues. Yep. They have a pocket spotlight that'll plug into your iPhone. They have fisheye and wide angle and macro lenses that you can attach to, and they even have an area where you can take their Phonography 101 course, so you can learn more about taking good photos as good as they get with your phone. Yeah. All kinds of cool stuff.
That's a very cool store. I'm seeing a lot more photography classes that are focusing on mobile photography as well. So in-person kinds of classes. It's not just some of these online things, but there's a ton of instructional videos online. There's the in-person classes. There's these tutorials, these classes you can purchase, and probably worth your time if you take a lot of photos and you want to actually use these photos for things other than just your cats. So if it's, church events or, ministry types of things or other things that are going to get on a website and people are going to see, probably worthwhile learning the camera that you have and the software. And that's one of the great things about some of these smartphones is you're not just stuck with the stock software that comes with the photo app, that comes with the camera, comes with the phone, but there's all kinds of add-ons and different editing software and different filters. Everybody's, I'm sure, heard of Instagram that gives you all kinds of ways to add your own little flair, to the photo, and other things that allow for retouching and, red eye removal and, all these other things that, higher end cameras can take care of.
Right. I think one of the challenges with the phone quality, the photo quality being kind of low on the phone is, you know, applying these filters and things makes you feel a little bit better. It gives you kind of a retro feel to it or whatever, you know, so it kind of makes up for the fact that the quality isn't the greatest. I know I'm a big Instagram user. I don't know if it's ever taken off in your household, Martin, or maybe you're just so much of a DSLR guy. You don't
my
use your
son,
cell phone.
Yeah. And I don't take a lot. I'll have to admit, I don't take a lot of mobile photographs, but I do when it's the only thing that I have on me. So
My favorite capture the moment kind of photo was this one when I was visiting Natchez last year. And we happened upon a wedding at an antebellum home, and the bride and groom were just leaving the wedding ceremony in a carriage. And it's a blurry, messy kind of photo. It almost looks ghostly or something, but I think it's a great capture, and it was done with my iPad, not the best camera in the world, but definitely caught the right moment there.
That's very cool. Nice job, Sally.
Yeah, you never know. And with Instagram, you know, enhancing it, it gave it a really cool feel. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of other tools. We've talked on the show about apps that you can, you know, push your photos and videos into to make them more of either a collage or an animation. So we've talked about tools like Animoto, which take where you can just shove that stuff in, apply some sound, and it does the work and really creates kind of a nice creative you know, thing for you. I did that for Christmas this past year with photos from the year. So I went back and pulled out of my library all the photos that I had taken that I wanted to maybe share and put them in Animoto and let it run its filters through it and came up with kind of a nice, you know, 3 or 4 minute video Christmas card. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking of another option is you can actually get postcards. I'm grabbing one off my bulletin board. You can get postcards printed from your photos using Postagram. It's another app that's available.
Cool.
And actually mail someone a physical postcard with your photo included. It's kind of perforated around the edges so you can punch it out and have just the photo, but you have your message on your postcard. Cost $1. You basically, you know, including postage, which is pretty expensive these days.
Oh, is that right?
That's a pretty good deal.
A buck for the printing and the delivery.
Exactly. So you could be on vacation in New Mexico, say, and want to share one of your favorite photos, and you can Postagram it right across to someone, and they get the actual postcard in the mail.
Now, how long does that take?
It doesn't take but, you know, a couple of days. They print it and send it right away. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, all kinds of cool apps. Another one we discussed as we were preparing for the show was the ability to use your camera for like taking photos of documents or receipts using OCR kind of software. I have one called Genius Scan that'll read the document. And also, if it's kind of at a funky angle, you can crop it and
de-skew
basically
it and
get rid of the skew that's on a photo or whatever. So, you know, some banks now you can actually photograph your check and make a deposit that way. I just saw an ad for that on TV for Wells Fargo that you can photograph the check.
Chase does that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bank of America, all of the big ones do that. My little local yokel doesn't do that yet, but
no,
I'm looking forward to the day.
Hadn't got that technology in Sleepy Eye either. Maybe someday.
Yeah. Just the ability to capture things, tuck them in. I use Evernote, so tuck things into Evernote. You know, I take a photo of my parking spot if I'm, you know, taking a plane and I'm coming back after, you know, a week in Hong Kong, and you know, I have no idea where I parked, but I look on my phone and see, you know, I was in P5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Just capturing receipts, like you said, and letting the software do the rest. It's that camera phone has a lot of uses. So it's worth when you're looking at a phone, it's worth kind of looking at that camera aspect of it too, and look at the ratings and see what people are saying about its quality, because it's something that you will use.
And we don't want to leave out the fact that it has a lot of uses for church and schools as well.
Right.
I know for us here at St. John's, one of the main things is just being able to quickly share things. So if you are taking photos, uploading them to your church or school Facebook page, for instance, or to a Flickr account that people have access to, or that is piped into your website or whatever. You certainly could have Instagram for your church or school as well, have an account for that. So just being able to quickly and easily do that. And also, we do the end of year kind of slideshow thing that you described for your family Christmas. We do that on our Unity Sunday each year. So just having the volume of photos to choose from to kind of recap your church or school year is a big plus.
Yep, absolutely. And you mentioned, Sally, a good use in field trips.
Yeah, this is from one of those articles that we'll link to, the one from Make Use Of. Said, take a picture of your kids just for a record in case they were to get lost. So, you know, you don't have to make a big production of it, but it's worth maybe photographing the kids so you know what clothes they're wearing and things like that.
Right.
If there were any, you know, obviously we don't want that to happen, but if someone went missing for some reason, you would have a record of them from that day.
Yep.
Yeah. You can also, I've done this a couple of times when I visit other churches, I like to take pictures of things in their church for ideas for our church. For instance, beautiful banners they may have. When I go to LWMS rallies, I'm always photographing, you know, what they did for decorations and things like that for their LWMS rally. I went to one school once for basketball, and they had a policy of each year doing a t-shirt for their school, and they took a picture of the kids in the t-shirts, and they had them all framed and matted like a whole hallway of the history of their school with their school year t-shirts from each year. It was the neatest thing. And I went by with my tablet and took pictures of each and every one of them because I thought they were great. So just having it on hand to document those kind of things and get ideas for your own church and school is helpful.
Yeah, and the same thing applies in the classroom for kids' projects. If they're doing an art project or a science project, you know, take a photo, take a quick video that you can post with permission, and or just share it with the parents. You know, it's kind of a neat thing to bring the parents into the experience through picture or through video, and it doesn't have to be necessarily high quality. Just capture it because, you know, that's what you've got on you. So it doesn't have to be something that you have to remember, oh, I got to get the video camera out and set it up and tripod or whatever. You know, just take whatever it is and just capture it and get it out there.
I'm smiling, Martin, because you and I have this little contest going on about who has the best memory. And you had a great memory that we interviewed Pete and Carrie Slosher. It's probably been 2 or 3 years ago now, episode 116 of Wells Tech. And it was all about photography in the classroom. They had excellent ideas to share. Carrie's in the classroom, and she shared some things that she's doing, and they had a book to go along with it. So, make sure you check out the show notes for that link and go back and listen to that interview as well.
Yep. Speaking of interviews, Sally, and kind of staying with the artsy theme, we interviewed a photographer / designer / architect, Carissa Nelson. Where was Carissa from? I got to look at the bio here.
It's there.
Grafton, Wisconsin.
There you go.
Down the road, just down the road from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. And we stumbled upon her work, or at least Julie Duran did, looking for good artwork for our photography collection. And she's a great designer and was willing to share some of her stuff with us. And in fact, some of the calendars we produce right now that you can find on the Wells website, she has created. In fact, you know, we actually shared a calendar on this interview that actually wasn't hers. So Sally, you have, you want to pull that up?
Yeah, I do. I have her beautiful April calendar. This really is Carissa's work and just gorgeous. April, obviously we're celebrating the Easter season. So we've got the empty tomb with some butterflies and beautiful sunrise.
Nice background you can put on your computer. And, so she's been gracious enough to donate some of those images for our use. And, I think you'll enjoy the interview because, we talk a lot about, how congregations and schools should be or could be thinking about the arts and design in their ministries, and how important it could be in some of your promotional material, or just in your designing stuff for worship and so on and so forth. So let's take a listen to our interview with Carissa Nelson. Joining us today on the podcast, we're happy to welcome Carissa Nelson from Grafton, Wisconsin, a designer and painter, stay-at-home mom, and Wells member at Our Savior there in Grafton. Welcome, Carissa. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. Kind of the Reader's Digest version would be great. Who is Carissa Nelson, what she does for fun, and what you do, and that kind of stuff.
Sure. I'm a mom. I have three small kids. Our oldest is six, and then my youngest two are almost 3 and 4, so they're pretty close. My background is in architecture. I have a bachelor's and master's degrees in architecture from UW-Milwaukee, and I've worked at a couple of design firms, including HGA in Milwaukee. And after grad school, I taught a couple of semesters as an adjunct professor at UWM for an architectural design studio for juniors and seniors. And then after doing that, I decided I wanted to be home with my kids. So I've been doing that since. And since I've been home, I've been looking for different creative outlets for my design skills. And I've had a lot of fun looking for ways to incorporate design just into my home, and also bringing design and ministry together through my church at Our Savior. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got started doing design at church through our mom's group that I organize, Mom Circle in Grafton, and just doing little e-newsletters and Facebook page and flyers for that. And then now we have started a whole communications and PR team at Our Savior to redo all of the branding. And at the same time, we're starting connect groups. So the communications team gets to kind of figure out how all of that fits together and how to communicate that to the congregation and also to our community. So that's been really fun. We've gone through a number of workshops to kind of figure out the personality of our church, what we want our personality to be, and how to share that. So that's been kind of a fun connection of design awesome. At church. Yeah.
Well, wow. We can tell who the designer is of the three of us just by looking at our individual backgrounds.
I'd say all the pastors that are listening just were drooling over that description of your communication and PR team. That's just awesome that you're doing that. I'm excited to hear about that. We found you, Carissa, through our Wells.net Flickr account. That's how we share images, and it's part of our streams media package that we have with Wells.net. And you were gracious enough to share some of your designs there in the Flickr area. And that led to our webmaster contacting you and asking you about contributing to our new desktop calendars that we're putting out every month. I'm showing on the screen the March one that you designed. I just love it. Martin was just commenting that's background. His background.
So. Mine's a different one, but that's okay.
So we are really interested just to hear about that Christian focus that you have in your artwork and how you're sharing that in so many different ways.
Right. Well, the calendar series has been pretty fun for me because so far I've done a Lent one, and now there will be an Easter one coming up pretty soon. So I'm excited to be able to put my design knowledge into that. And then I also have a blog at CarissaNelsonArt.com where I've been able to share illustrations of funny things my kids say, or designing flyer tips, or my paintings, or also I've done a little bit of artwork and marketing outreach materials for a couple other churches too. So sometimes I'll share that on my blog as well. And then any of the art that I have for sale, I have on my Etsy shop. And you can see right there, there's a connection to one of the items that I have in my Etsy shop. And then I've explained it further on my blog. This one is creation artwork that I made for my kids and then just decided to share it with others. It comes on a couple of PDF sheets that you can just print off at home and then make it into anything that you would like to. For example, a felt board set. Mine are cut out and glued on colorful construction paper. And then you can get laminating pouches at office supply stores or Walmart so that you can laminate paper for your kids even without having a laminating machine. And then you can put either a flannel on the back, or I have magnets on mine, and use them with cookie sheets so that I can teach my kids the Bible stories, and then they have the little pieces to play with.
Those must be your kids there in the picture, huh?
Yes. Those are my littlest two, Oliver and Adley. Mm-hmm. Okay. They were teaching Jesus numbers when we were taking that picture. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun for me to see them using the pieces and thinking about, I don't think I would think about what it would have been like to see Jesus as a child, but my kids see that because they think about what they're learning and they need to know who's the mom, who's the dad, mm-hmm. let's get Jesus presents and things like that. So that's been a cool experience to see how my kids think about the Bible stories as they're learning them.
It seems like, you know, just reading your blog too, that you're thinking about how people use your art, different applications for it. It's not just appreciation of, but it's the, you know, art as a tool, as not just a regular tool, but as a ministry tool. That's kind of a neat perspective and probably gives you a little more fulfillment in what you're doing.
Yes, definitely.
Well, we mentioned earlier the calendar series. I know I'm anxious for April to get here. We're recording this interview a little bit earlier. Hopefully by the time it plays, we'll be able to share your April calendar as well. Right now, the March one is up, and that seems like a really fun project to be involved in.
Yes.
So we're happy to have you lending your talent there. I noticed also on your blog that you have freebies and giveaways of some of your beautiful work. One that caught my eye was this recent one that you released, House Rules, Love Each Other. And so people can just print like a PDF version of this and use it.
Yes. And I'll be every now and then adding more, so you can keep checking back. I might do more flyer backgrounds or just printable out art for the home. Different things like that.
Yeah. Nice stuff. This one that's a Lenten background, you kind of show how it could be used, you know, with the font over it and everything, but then you can download just the plain background and make use of it. So beautiful work. So,
go ahead, Sarah.
Sorry. I was just going to say, so there's other things, not just giving away your beautiful artwork, but giving away some of your knowledge. And let's see if I can find the right blog post now. I have so many up on my screen. But this basic flyer design post that I found kind of gets into how to design flyers. And I guess I'm looking at the wrong one still. This is the one, the basic flyer design, keep it simple, gets into how to do layout and things. So not just, you know, sharing your talents and making them available for a fee, but actually giving some of that information away. That's a real blessing as well.
Right. I have found that, you know, working with the flyers at church and things, a lot of times just simplifying the flyer can make it a lot easier and having a good concept of what you want to be doing. So I wanted to share some of those tips because you can put together a pretty nice flyer, even if you don't have any fancy software. There's a lot of access to free things that you can use. And just by keeping the idea simple, you can put out some pretty nice materials.
A lot of churches, especially I think Lutheran churches, like a lot of words. I think that the whole concept of keeping things simple is a good lesson learned. I would assume that you would be a big advocate of having kind of a creative group, creative marketing or creative development or designer type group in each congregation because of things like this. And I'm sure congregations kind of get that, but they don't know maybe where to start. Maybe from your perspective, you know, now that you've got kind of a group like that in your church, how would you maybe advise churches to go about doing that? You just look for the designers in the church, or is there a process that they should go to? How would you suggest they approach it?
Right. I think it depends too on your congregation, because mm-hmm. I've been working with a couple congregations that just don't have that skill set in their congregation. Right. So I'm doing it for them. Uh-huh. So at our congregation, we have been blessed to kind of get a new group of young professionals coming in. We have people that have technology backgrounds and PR backgrounds, and then my architectural design background. And we also have people with a lot of experience writing copy and getting the publications out. So our group is kind of made up of people that are doing that for their jobs. So I think it really depends who you have in your congregation, and probably your community too, to see. In Grafton now, I think we kind of have a growing young professionals.
Right, I get that.
Group moving into town, so the pretty graphics are even more important for bringing in young families and things. But I think also, if you just have people that are willing to learn it, anybody can learn it. So aside from having design professionals, I think just a willingness to put the pieces together is probably what you really need.
Right, the technical expertise, but also the good eye and the understanding of what communications is. And I suppose that those congregations that don't have the skill sets, they can go find it.
Right.
People like yourself or whatever. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, that there is value in the arts, and it's an incredible communications tool.
Very good. Well, what's next for Carissa? What are your plans for the future, and how can people stay in contact with you and follow those plans?
Right. Hopefully I find a lot more opportunities to bring design and ministry together, because that's been really fun for me. If you keep up with me by the Facebook page and the blog are the best two places, but I really am interested in the social media aspect. So if you prefer Twitter or LinkedIn or Pinterest or any of those, you can find me there too. But I primarily post things on the Facebook page. Followers usually get access to the first views of the new paintings and things. So I think it's fun for people to have nice artwork and Christian art going through their news feeds, instead of some of the other things they get sometimes coming through. So kind of the first looks at the artwork on the Facebook page, and then more in-depth information on the blog, and then LinkedIn or Pinterest for additional things.
And that's carissanelsonart.com if you want to visit her website, and I'm sure right. she'll come up in a Facebook search. So
we'll definitely have links in our show notes to all those locations.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Carissa, thanks for joining us. Blessings on your work and your growing family, and it's neat to I'm enjoying your artwork, and you have a new follower.
Thank you.
Carissa, once again, thank you very, very much for taking the time. Busy mother of three. I'm sure you get that, Sally, how challenging it could be to carve out 15 minutes even some days. And she was willing to do that on short notice, and shared some great tips and ideas and some of her beautiful work.
Yeah, what talent she has. And we would love to see your talent featured in our Flickr pool of streams images as well. So we'll have a link in the show notes to that inspirational images pool, and you can join it and share things via your Flickr account. So thanks, Carissa, for doing that, and to all the others who contribute as well.
Beautiful. Yep. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to news and tech.
Yeah, I was excited to come across an article about our friend Peter Isles. Peter is a teacher in Oshkosh, Martin, I believe, and at Grace in Oshkosh. And he has the notoriety of being the first ever teacher to bring Google Chromebooks into his classroom. And just an excellent article about that path and all the opportunities that's opened up for Grace, for the students there, for Peter himself to share his knowledge with the world, basically. And he talks about all the different contacts he's made and things like that. So a great video. We hope to embed the video right there in our show notes so you can watch it. But definitely check out the article as well. And congratulations to you, Peter, for all that hard work and how well it's paying off.
Yeah, I did a visit. I don't know if it was last. I think it was last school year up to his classroom to kind of observe how he was using the Chromebooks. And I was really sold on that approach and have recommended it to other schools. And other schools are doing it now. I think it's a growing trend within Wells to get Chromebooks in the classroom. So very interesting. I wrote a series of blog posts on my experience there, and Peter was gracious enough to let me come in there. And he's been asked by Google on a number of occasions to do lectures and workshops and those kinds of things, helping other school administrators and teachers who are considering getting Chromebooks into their environment to, the pitfalls, the ups and the downs. But in general, it's been a very positive experience for him.
Yeah, very excited to see that in a Well school. We're really proud for them.
Yep. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
Well, not surprisingly, we're going to go with the
some photo apps.
Photo theme. That's right. Some photo apps that you can use on your mobile devices. Mine is iOS specific, and it's called PhotoGene. And PhotoGene is an editing software. It's my go-to editor on my iPad. And it can do pretty much anything, crops and all different kinds of adjustments to brightness and things like that. It can do, it has a lot of different preset filters. So you can apply, similar filters to what you'd get with an Instagram type program to your images. And you can also create collages, so selecting up to 6 different images and laying them out in different collage format, adding text overlays, controlling all the colors and things about your collage as well. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to post a video link. So if you're really interested, I do a quick overview tour of PhotoGene, demonstrate how you can create collages and how you can do different edits to the images, and have that in video format for you guys to watch separately. So check out the show notes for that video link and learn more about PhotoGene. I think it's well worth the price tag and has served me well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. iOS only.
Yeah.
I believe. Okay. My pick is a similar kind of tool, but it is for both iOS and for Windows Phone, which I happen to use, and it's called PhotoSynth. It's a Microsoft product, and what it is, it allows you to take panoramic, and in some cases what they call 3D, although it's not really 3D, but it allows you to stitch together photos and then view it in a kind of a 360 viewing tool. So you've probably seen these, Sally, in realtor sites where you can actually go into a room and pan around the entire room to see, the size and, everything else. And that's kind of what, this is, except, you can do it. So you take your phone with the app on it, or you can actually take regular photos and upload them or use their downloadable product that you can download to a Windows only machine, stitch them together, and you come out with a kind of a beautiful rendering that allows you to kind of do a 360 view. So if you're looking at home, I can pan through this picture. This is Oz, a city in Oslo, or an area in Oslo, where I can pan, 360 degrees like I was standing in the middle of a square and look all around me. And these are very easy to take, so it stitches it together pretty seamlessly. It does a really nice job. And in some cases, if you use their downloadable software, you can actually go all the way up and down, too. So you can stitch together basically not just 360 in a horizontal, but also in a vertical way. So just before the show, Sally, I did a quick one using my phone app, and you can upload these to your own your own photo sense area on the site. It's free. So I just did in my office a quick photo synth of my office, and I just sat on my office chair and gave you viewers a look at what I look at every day. So there's my computer set up. Those of you that are watching, you know, and I got my conference table at the end of the room there, and a messy bookshelf, and the door to Lee Hitter's office, which is behind me there, who's my neighbor, out the window, so you can kind of see that the sun is shining, and my my Synod yearbook right there. So it's and this took all of like 20 seconds to do and to upload, and it stitches it together. So you've got it on your phone, you can upload it and share it. And Sally, include a link to this in the show notes as well. So very cool tool, and I can think of a number of different applications, whether it be your church or an event, your campus, just some cool applications for this. So that's photosynth.net, and that's a Microsoft product.
The best panorama I ever took, Martin, was from the top of Hermann the German. I actually climbed to the top and went all the way around, and it did turn out very cool.
What did you use to do that? Did you use photosynth?
Yep, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, it's available on iPhone, iPad, and Windows Phone. Nothing for Android yet, but I'm assuming that that's coming. So, but you could take individual photos. So you just need to overlap them a little bit and then download their software and upload them in the right order, and then it'll figure out how to stitch them all together. So it does a really incredible job.
Smart technology.
So I'm going to try and take some of these when I go out to New Mexico and see what I can get.
Very good. Well, we should talk a little bit about our Wells Tech Camp. We mentioned it in the last show, Martin, and it is coming up on September 14th at Martin Luther College. And I thought we might spend a little time periodically giving you some answers to frequently asked questions about what to expect, starting with what to expect in terms of a schedule for the day. We are planning the day to go from about 8:30 to 4. The real sessions won't kick off till maybe 10 a.m. So if you're driving in that morning, you can still get there and get involved even a little bit later in the day. We are planning 4 1-hour sessions. Those will be in a variety of rooms around the campus. And what the topics will be for those sessions, that's to be determined that morning. That's the exciting part of this. So we'll all come together and suggest discussion topics and break up into rooms and have a good time just talking with each other and sharing ideas. Besides the 4 1-hour sessions, we're going to have lunch in the MLC cafeteria and snack breaks along the way as well. And the day will end with coming together and recapping and maybe some giveaways at that point. So yeah.
Unless
looking forward
think
to it.
That lunch in the cafeteria is just kind of a regular cafeteria meal. You haven't been to New Ulm lately. They've got some good stuff there.
They definitely do. So yeah. And all of this for the price tag of free. So yeah. Our favorite price tag, we want to bring you into the conversation, and we don't want price to be a hindrance. So please plan to join us.
And these will be technology topics, but we're trying to pick or trying to encourage topics that cross different areas of ministry. So some will be maybe focused on what a pastor might be interested in. Others would be more classroom technologies. Others would be general. So we're trying to get a mix. So it's not just because it's at New Ulm specific to a particular field. We're going to try and make it as broad as possible, ministry technology. So
yeah. WellsTechCamp.wikispaces.com is the website. We'll have a link in our show notes.
Okay. Sally, because we're recording a little bit early, we don't have a lot of feedback, but we do have something.
That's right. Jason Smith, we thank you very much for coming through for us with the DIGO link. It is to Incompetech. Kind of a strange name, I thought, but Incompetech is a royalty-free sound spot. So you can get royalty-free music of all types. They have it organized. And I was going to click on the View Collections link just to get into different ways that they have it organized to give you an idea. They have electronic and rock. They have dance music, mad pianist, film scoring moods. So if you're just looking for some background music, they have mystery and noir and all kinds of bright and tension. They have lighter fare with piano music and light music.
Cool. This is all royalty free?
It is.
Creative Commons or what?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Creative Commons. So yeah. Take a look, maybe bookmark it so that when you do need some background music, you can come here and find it.
So you can use it in your projects and classroom projects or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep. Thanks for the link, Jason.
Your Animoto video, you can throw this in there.
There you go.
Thanks, Jason. If you want to contribute to the show, we would really appreciate that. Go to our website, wellstech.wells.net. You can see all the show notes, of course, as we reference frequently throughout the show. You can leave a voicemail there. There's a little box that flies out from the right side. Just click that box and leave your voicemail. You can add a comment to any of the shows. You can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, or across the top, you see all your favorite social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Digo, Pinterest, and the list goes on and on. So tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Sally, up next week, we return to our book, Presentation Zen by Gar Reynolds, How to Amp Up Your Presentations. Most of us do presentations from time to time. Some of us do them every day if you're in a classroom. Great book to consider. We've been reviewing it. We're up to chapter 9, Connecting with an audience.
Really we all need to do that, even if you aren't using a presentation behind you. Public speaking tips in this chapter are worth paying attention to.
Absolutely. Let's close the show with the music of Branches Band, who is on tour right now. I follow them on Facebook, so good for them. I think they were in Florida last week, and we're going to play their song, This is the Day the Lord Has Made. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.